Same one when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. His spirit has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Tell your neighbor, I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a Christian. Amen. I love the Lord. You shouldn't have to tell them that. They should already know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It seems like what I'm going to preach on tonight has kind of been, I was talking to my wife about it this afternoon before lunch, right after church. I said, it just seems like this has been a little bit of a theme lately. The scripture that I'm going to read, it's not the first one I'm going to read, but it will be the second one. Amen. I tell you, church, we've been having some sovereign moves of God in this place. And as I was thinking about it, amen, I know I'm supposed to preach, but I'm going to exhort here for just a minute. So I've been thinking about how God has been moving here. Pastor, I kind of reflected back to whenever I was some of these youngins' age, and whenever a sovereign move of God was happening at that point in time, when lots of individuals were coming in and getting saved, I remember that there was a move of God like we are experiencing now. I can remember we had pews in our church. I wish they would have been chairs. They'd have been a lot more comfortable. The old wooden pews with no padding. Anybody remember those? Amen. Whenever the wood starts to separate and you sit down and one of them pinches you, and the pastor thinks you're backing him up, but you're actually got a blood blister. That's the kind of pews I was raised up on. Some of you don't know much about my history, where I came from. But I came from a place where, Brother Larry, I sat about, it was about the third pew back. I can remember laying underneath the third pew right there, laying underneath there and watching God move on men and women like we've been seeing. I remember, Brother Timothy, where it came a point in time where I wasn't the one watching, but I was the one responding. It was those same moves of God that helped me to carry on when I was in my darkest day. It wasn't me carrying on. It wasn't the power of my parents or the might and the testimony that my grandfather had. But it was because of the Spirit of God that dwelled inside of me. Now we are on the edge. And if you're not on the edge, go ahead and get on in. God wants to do something. He wanted to do something here in this service tonight. I have to thank you, Brother Jonathan, for playing the drums tonight, because I love it when I get a chance not to play, because I get to do this. I can move around, and I get some looks sometimes because I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. What is he doing? I'm praising the Lord because I have that liberty. Amen. And I enjoy it. Amen. We're going to turn to the text tonight, Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6. This scripture, for about the last 4 to 6 weeks, I've really thought on it over and over and over again. And it's what gives me that drive and that desire to press on. Now, where's Isaac? Isaac pressed on. And he pressed on until he couldn't press on any longer. And his brother had to help him. Brother Jonathan was probably thinking, I'm going to have to build some type of apparatus to drag this kid out of here. Because I seen the look on them boys' face when they came into camp. They made it to the point they made it, Brother Larry, because they had a hunger to be somewhere. They had a desire to reach somewhere. They had a point to make. Where's Brother Jason? He's not in here. Amen. chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is Jesus speaking here. He doesn't just say that blessed they are because they hunger and thirst. They'll eventually get something. But he says here, for they shall be filled. Not maybe, not at the end of the road, but if you're hungry and you're thirsty after his righteousness, you will receive from him. Turn to Zechariah chapter number 4. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. This is the scripture that seems to be just keep popping up last couple services. And it starts and says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. I can't even say it. I was saying it earlier. Saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. I want to preach to us for just a little while here tonight on simply this thought, by his spirit. By his spirit. Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Brother Larry Cisneros, will you pray over the reading of God's word tonight? You can be seated here this evening. Amen. I want to draw out a few things from this scripture before I go on any farther. We can look up some different definitions here. I want us to first of all look there where it says, not by might. Might simply means by either a force, whether of men or of resources, or of wealth. Might. How many of you have resources at your fingertips? How many of you have a force to be reckoned with? Brother Jason has the resources from time to time of big equipment. Brother Rick has the resource and the knowledge of how to make a leg that goes to another table that looks almost exactly the same. Some of our resources. You could take a set of plans to Brother Cisneros and he could look at it and give you your electrical engineer play-by-play where it needs to be. This is right, this is wrong. He could consult you on that because he has a resource of knowledge that he learned from school. And probably from getting shocked a time or two. I could go around this room, talk to different individuals and say, what can you bring to the table? I know my wife can cook. I know Sister Sarah can make chili. We had a little bit of it, didn't we, boys? I learned something about Brother Larry. Sister Kathy? He can cook a cake. Can he, Brother Mike? It was good. It was good. We have some resources. It's not by might. It's not by our resources that we're able to overcome, church. It's not by our knowledge. It's not by simply our doctrine or our own personal convictions that we're going to make it. It's not by our own strength. It's not by our own resources. It's not by our own funds. It's not because my grandfather taught in a Bible school. It's not that he was a great man of God. We've got to begin to realize that we cannot lean on our own understanding, on our own righteousness, on our own experience. We've got to begin to grab a hold of something that comes down out of the Word of God. It's not the might that we have, but it's something that comes down from the Father of lights. It's a gift, church, that we've got to grab a hold of. Second thing we find here in this scripture, it says, nor by power. This word meaning to be firm or to have a force. Now, I wish I'd have put that picture up there of them boys and their backpacks. Timothy, Isaac, and Jonathan. They were a force to be reckoned with by the time they had them backpacks on them. Did they not, Commander? Go to put them on. Come here, Michael, help me, buddy. I want to give you guys a picture, and I almost brought my backpack. All right. They had a force. Go ahead, hop up there. They put their backpack on. You got a good grip? And they got it on. They were, oh! And they started the climb, got about halfway up that first deal, and I seen them kind of do the, It was a force. Thank you, brother. Was it not, Isaac? Was it not, Timothy? Jonathan's like, oh, I could have carried all three of them. They were a force to be reckoned with. Brother Timothy had his fire logs packed in his pack, his torch. He had changes of clothes, his tent, granola bars for days. We had our beef jerky, our hot fire, and chili. They couldn't wait to get to our camp, by the way. They were a force. They had a means to get somewhere, and they thought take care of themselves. But they were a force. I can only imagine, and I wish I could have been a fly on somebody's backpack. By the time that they would pass someone, they see them with all that stuff, and they probably look at them and be like, them fellas are on a mission. Their mind is made up. Even when they're lost. Power. Force. Brute strength. They were a picture of it. When they started. We all were. Brother Robert, there came a point in time when our power started to dwindle. We got down to the bottom of that. Part of the bottom, it kept going down further. We stopped there, a little water area, got a fresh handful of that cold water and splashed on my face. Oh, I felt renewed, revived. But then I looked up. There was more to go. The power source began to dwindle. We might think that we have the power, we have the force. We have the knowledge of the Word of God, but the knowledge alone is worthless unless
because there is something that comes out from inside of you that's not from you, but it's from heaven. Amen. We've got to begin to realize that that power that we think we have, that knowledge that we think we can use, amen, it is worthless. It might look nice on a piece of paper. It might impress some people. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one thing that impresses God, and it's a willingness to be used by His Spirit. We get to the point where He says, but by My Spirit. That word Spirit means the wind, the breath, the life, the air, a whirlwind that is changing you into who He wants you to be. Church, we've been having some whirlwind of services here in the past few weeks, the past few months. It seems like the enemy has came against us, amen, by families, amen, and tried to attack us, tried to discourage us, either attacked our health, our mind, or our body, begin to shake us. But I want us to realize it's not by our strength, it's not by our mind or our power, but it's by His Spirit. As I have been in these services and begin to think of what I am experiencing, Pastor, is very possibly the last mighty move of God that this nation might experience. I don't want to be one that stands on the wayside and says, I've got the knowledge, I've got my force, my abilities. Come on, church. I've got my experience. Your experience is worthless unless it's being used. You ask anybody that's went to college and didn't even go into the field that their degree required, that they went to school for. Most of them, I've talked to several of them, Brother Jason, they are disappointed in the 4 years or 8 years that they put in and didn't even get a job for that position. I talked to 3 people in the last few months about it. I said, hey, what do you do? Well, I do such and such. I said, did you go to college? Yeah, I went to college for criminal justice. Have nothing to do. They're not even in that field or that industry. Talk to another one. Oh, I went to do this, and I'm over here doing this. Their experience was worthless. In their opinion, they wasted mama and daddy's $20,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $120,000. Or sometimes they go into debt and have to carry that around. I'm not knocking going to college. I want you to look at the spiritual analogy of this. Is we have the Word of God. This is Isaac's Bible. What are you using, Isaac? Oh, I love you, Isaac. You know that, don't you? We pick up our knowledge. That tells us, Brother Jason, any and every experience that we could ever hope, dream of having. In every avenue that we could be used in. But when it actually comes time to being put to use, grab up our knowledge. Oh boy, here the Lord's moving. I got to get over here. All right, it's Brother Michael's turn. Run back and forth across the front of the church. He's not moving. Well, it's Titus's turn to jump up and down. No, he's not moving. God's calling on us to be used, but we're not moving. We say, Lord, I can make it in my own strength. In my own force, my own power, my own knowledge. We're fixing to start revival. We've been in revival.
There's those of us that's homes have been completely transformed and changed because it's been in revival. It's time that we begin to open up and allow ourselves to be exposed to the community as someone that's being caught up in a revival. Amen. It's time that we show out and say, hey, I've got the Word of God, and I know it's true. And I tell you what, when God begins to move, amen, His Spirit begins to rise up inside of me. There's something in me that begins to stir, and I just have to say, yes, Lord, I'll move. Yes, Lord, I'll walk around the church. I don't have to worship inside the building. There's nothing wrong with us when God begins to move, to walking out the front door and showing the community what a man or a woman filled with the presence and the Spirit of God look like. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that in Diamond, Missouri, I had some family members that decided to take the gospel outside the church when God was moving. And a drunk said, the church was on fire, and I seen an angel carrying a tambourine. He got saved, and so did more of the community when the church got on the move. Not mine. When somebody gets under the unction and the Spirit and the power of God, there's no telling what can happen and who could be looking on to say, that's the one. But Larry grabs up the trumpet, goes tearing around the block, playing, we shall see the King when He comes. Sister April grabs up that tambourine, goes playing right behind him, keeping the rhythm. And Brother Jason drops the bass and grabs up the sax. Hey now, when revival leaves the church and goes into the community, it's not by our strength, it's not by our power, but it's by His Spirit. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, Brother Matthew, you can grab up a handful of tracts as people go about and passing them out, saying the Lord is coming back. His Spirit is here. He's looking to move. He's looking to set a fire down in my soul. Amen. It's something that's going to burn. Amen. Fervent. Amen. And joyful. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and 16 is kind of the experience I've been looking back and seeing what we've kind of been experiencing here, church. There's not been a service that God hasn't spoke. Not once, but twice, and sometimes three times in a service. Don't let me be guilty, Pastor, of staying in one place. I must be removed from my comfort zone. Whether I feel Him speaking to my heart or not, if I'm not hearing Him speaking to me, brothers and sisters, I need to move closer. Not stand back in the shadows. We find when Moses left the tabernacle, amen, Joshua stayed close. He stayed there in that tabernacle and experienced something that made him a greater leader than Moses ever expected or ever hoped to be, because he was a man that was willing to listen to the voice of God. He's one that was able to see the other side. Amen. He's one, amen, church, that was set on fire inside that tent flap and let it carry him through Canaan land. He was able to see the milk. He was able to taste the honey. He was able to carry the grapes home and say, Mama, amen, look what God is doing. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Spirit of God that was in Acts is the same Spirit that's here in Calvary Lighthouse. Amen, is looking to move through you. And it was, amen, church, but this was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit. What's He pouring out? His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, I've been seeing some young men here in this sanctuary. When the power and the presence of God begin to move, they don't know where to go. They just sit there and shake.
They just sit there and quiver. They sit there and cry. Why? Because there is a power. There is a spirit. Amen. It's trying to rise up inside of them. Amen. It's the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah like you mean it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. We find in the tabernacle there was a time where they were requested to give an answer. Amen. Man, it feels good up here. Hallelujah. I want to read a little more Acts with you before I get too carried away. Acts chapter 2, very familiar scripture to all of us. 2 and 1 says, "And when that day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." See, we got to realize something. Pastor, don't we have a scheduled time church starts? What does that mean? We're all supposed to be here in one accord and one mind. Our minds focused. Our hearts tuned in. Now, hey, Sister Lindsay, will you please throw up the prayer meeting real quick on the screen? I want us all to look at something real quick. When she gets it put up there. Prayer meeting. When does prayer meeting happen? 30 minutes before every service and at 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Until 7 or till whenever? Till whenever. What does that, thank you, sister, what does that allow us to do? When we come into this place, it helps us to get into one of mine. It helps us begin to touch heaven and become in one accord. Because whenever we become in one accord, whenever the Spirit of God, here, help me for just a second, Brother Timothy. When the Spirit of God begins to move, because we're in one accord, what's happening here? Timmy ain't got a hold of me. I got a hold of Timmy. The Spirit of God, when we become in one mind, one accord, he says, well, we're going to go this way. And he follows. And we're going to go this way. And he follows. Why? Because he's become linked up. How many's ever heard of a website called LinkedIn? Everybody know what it is? It's where people with that has a business or business knowledge or wants to, it's a community for people that have knowledge in businesses and employees can all get together and they can communicate. Great inventions. Believe it or not, in the 21st century, some of the things that we've seen have happened because people have got connected on there. I actually know a man that got in touch with a guy over in Africa, and they developed this some kind of a bicycle that's for over there that runs off of solar power batteries, and they're able to plug it in, park it at their house. They generate energy all day when they're riding it. Generates all this battery backup. When they get to their house, they can plug it in and have a couple hours of power. This guy's a genius. He found someone that was interested in investing in his idea because he didn't want to help the U.S. He wanted to try and help a foreign country so that they might be able, this guy's a Christian, that they might be able to hear about the Word of God. Whenever we become connected, amen, I'm spending too much time on this, I'm sorry. Try to wrap it up here shortly. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. What did we just read about just a little bit ago? What was his spirit? Found the definitions was wind, air. How long's it been since you've allowed the wind to move you? I don't know about you, but tonight, Pastor, I felt that wind come through. And I said, Lord, here am I. Let me move from where I'm at. Let me get closer to the source. Brother Jason, how long has it been since we've allowed the wind to move us on those instruments?
Sister Lindsay, how long has it been since we felt that wind take us right off the piano? Say, hey, let's let the wind begin to carry me along. How long has it been, church folks? Brother Robert, since you've let that wind move you into the place of the unknown, where Jesus is. I'm here to tell you, there comes a point in time where He takes us from this earth in our spirit and carries us to heavenly places. And we begin to learn things that we can't come back and talk about. But it begins to bring us to a new lifestyle. It begins to bring us to a new plane. Amen. A new playing field, so to speak, where we see things that we've never seen before. Why is that? It's because when that wind blows, we are moved. We are changed. This wind filled the house where they were all sitting. This scripture isn't a reference on what we're supposed to be doing all the time. I'm just going to point that out. Amen. Only a few laughs out there. That's all right. I want to draw some attention to the pastor for just a second. You know, the times I've ever seen him sit down in a service, I can't really remember the last time I've seen him. When the song service is going on, well, I'll just sit right here for a while. It's funny. It's all right. Why is that? He doesn't want to be caught by the wind being set down. Because let me tell you something. If you're set down and the wind blows, amen. I'm going to give you guys an illustration. I know I'm taking longer than I should, but just bear it with me. If you're set down and the wind blows, where am I going to go? You look kind of funny, don't I? When the wind blows and you're up and you're moving, guess what happens? You begin to move with the power and the presence of God. You're no longer caught here on the floor, but you're being taken to a place of the unknown. Amen. You're being carried to where that Spirit of God can begin to minister to you in a whole new level. Amen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember a few services ago, there was an awful lot of folks here in this sanctuary speaking in another tongue. The prayers of the church was being lifted up. Amen. There was people in this church that was caught away in the wind. Amen. And there was a tongue that was beginning to fill this place. It wasn't prayers, amen, or speech that could be known by mankind, but it was something that was being spake into the heavens. Amen. It's something that began to fight off and fend off the enemy when he began to come against us like a flood. Amen. There was a standard that was reached down and grabbed a hold of Brother Jason and began to be raised up. Amen. Why? Because there began to be a people that began to be carried away with the wind. Begin to allow the Spirit of God begin to move through that mouthpiece of theirs and begin to be lifted up into the heavens. Tell you what, was it two Thursday nights ago? But Larry, when we anointed these pews, Ranger boys, Rangers, Junior Commander, stand. These boys right here, I want to recognize them, not for their hike, but for their prayers. For 30, 45 minutes, one of these boys' hands, and they laid hands on every one of these pews, not once, not twice, but many times. Went around these walls, went around these altars. They were praying. They were seeking God. Few of them started speaking, Brother Jason, in an unknown tongue. Why was that? Because there began to be a wind
church, there began to be a wind that was blowing through here. Why is that happening? Because there is someone, amen, here tonight, amen, that has a passion, amen, and a desire, amen. Brother Larry has a desire for young men to come into this sanctuary. He grabbed every one of them pamphlets and began to pray for them with a burden. Why? Because there's a wind that's beginning to blow through this place. We've got to get in touch. We've got to get in tune and let Him carry us. Hallelujah. Psalms 24:7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Church, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Have a little praise break right there. Let's look back at Zechariah where he said, "It's by my spirit." Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Let's begin to tell him, "Lord, I'm thankful that you're the King of kings. You're the King of glory. You're the great I am. You're the first, the last, and the everlasting one. You're the one who came to give me life, to give me glory, and to give me hope." The King of glory is here. My church, be not silent. For if you are silent, the very rocks, the very foundation will begin to try and lift my voice. There are things that I have done that the books of the world could not contain. Those very things I choose to use you in. If you would just show yourself available. Because the available vessel is the one that will be poured out as an offering before the Lord. And when it is poured out, there will be a sweet savor that will raise into the heavens. And I will answer. I will answer by fire. I will answer by wind. I will answer in a still small voice. If my church will just hear and begin to worship me once again in true holiness. In the true spirit that I have sent, that now abides in you. Follow after my example, thus saith the Lord unto his church. Church, I don't have time to make an altar call. The altar call is here. God, I'm sorry.